Thursday, May 5th, 2016. This is the Sales Playbook Podcast. I am your host, Paul Castain, from YourSalesPlaybook.com, and this is the podcast for sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners who want to sell more. Now, this week, we're going to be talking about why you are missing opportunities. Let me say it again because, man, this is both an important and a tad sensitive when it comes to subject matter for the podcast. We're going to be talking about why you're missing opportunities. Now, this week's episode of the Sales Playbook Podcast is brought to you by a simple plan to grow your sales. So let's go ahead and pay the bills. There's an old saying that tells us the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And in sales, we typically have three main things: getting new accounts, retaining and wowing those accounts, and growing those accounts. But sadly, many sales reps miss opportunities because, well, maybe they don't have a good plan to begin with. Or perhaps they think they have a good plan, but they've never modified it. They've never challenged it. They've never added things to it. They've never removed the things that are simply not working. Or maybe they have the plan in place, but they just never have a chance to work the plan. Why? Because they're just too damn busy. On May 10th, we're going to be talking about a simple plan to grow your sales, because really when you get down to it, right, when you break it down, this doesn't have to be a complicated thing. If you guys are like me, the more complicated and sophisticated and technical the plan is, probably the lower the probability that we're ever going to do it. So I'm actually going to be sharing over 25 ideas to help you guys grow your sales and manage the things that pull you away from working the plan, that pull you away from keeping the main thing the main thing. Well, here's what you're going to gain if you decide to join us. First of all, a simple routine to help you grow your sales. Do you guys see kind of a theme here? That whole simple plan thing? Well, it's going to be a real simple routine to help you grow your sales. That's what it's about. That's why we're here, right? That's why we're aspiring sales rock stars. Three automated sales activities that are going to save you time and make you money, because that's what it's all about. 10 ways to absolutely rock. And when I say rock, I'm going all caps on you. Rock your selling efforts. How to add, you ready for this, 16 more selling days in the next year without screwing over your personal life. I mean, you have to have a life, right? I mean, many times we look at these things that we can do in sales, but it's like, all right, so now I got to get up like an extra 2 hours early, or like not hang out with the kids after dinner and to do this or whatever. No, not on my watch. Also, we're going to talk about how you can add 1,500 more touches to your prospecting efforts without working those extra hours. But you know what? Part of the challenge that we have is that there are obstacles. Many times, especially like at the beginning of the year, right? We have all these plans to conquer the world, but then there are things that get in the way of working the plan. So we're going to talk about the five obstacles that will get in the way of your success, but more importantly, what you can do about it. So if you'd like to learn more, I want you to visit yoursalesplaybook.com/plan. And if by chance, you know, you have something going on May 10th and you can't make it, or the time is not good for you, whatever it is, I'm going to encourage you to sign up anyway, because we always record our webinars and the courses that we do online. And in this case, I'm actually going to send out the recording later that day, so you could just simply attend it whenever it's convenient for you, 2 in the morning if you want. But anyway, if you would, please visit yoursalesplaybook.com/plan, and I hope to see you there. Okay, so once again, we're only a few days out. I mean, today's May 5th. We're going to be doing this webinar on May 10th, so probably be a really good time to stop putting it off and sign up so that you can come and join us and get lots of great ideas. So now, let's get down to business. Our topic, once again this week, is going to be why you're missing opportunities. So, first of all, I want to put opportunities into a bit of a context that we're all kind of learning about this from the same perspective today. When I say opportunities, I mean opportunities with both prospects as well as your existing clients. So let's explore a few ideas. So the first thing is I want to get kind of personal with you. And I want you to imagine, if you will, someone that you don't know trying to build a relationship with you. Let's just say that there's someone that you don't know who'd like to be your friend in a non-creepy type of way. I think it's important to put that out there too. And they reach out to you sporadically, and they're never really around. So let me give you some examples here. You might hear from them on and off for a few weeks, then they disappear for a few months, and then they're back for a week or two, and they reach out for you maybe once or twice, and then they disappear for 6 weeks. And, you know, then they're, you know, like they're here and they're gone. And this whole ritual of being here and then disappearing, being here and then disappearing, just continues forever, right? So now I want to ask you a few questions. I want you to think about that scenario I've just given you. Under those circumstances, would you feel like you really knew them? I want you to be honest. And don't answer out loud. I mean, think about that. How, like, crazy does that make you look? I mean, you're basically talking to your computer or your phone. Congrats, right? Random drug test for you today. Also, I mean, would you know them well enough to really like them? You ready for this one? Would you know and like them enough to trust them under those circumstances? I mean, seriously, I mean, you would be, or they would be lucky if you even regarded them and knew that they existed. So now let's take it from personal, move it over to business. We're going to be doing that today, by the way. We're going to have some fun. We're going to go personal. We're going to go business, right? We've got to change it up. So business is no different. But that's what you're creating. And remember that phrase, you're creating. This whole scenario, when you're not being consistent with both your prospect outreach as well as your client outreach, you're not around enough to be even regarded, for them to even know that you exist, let alone known, liked, and trusted. Right? And people love to say that a lot in sales. People do business with people they know, like, and trust. So you're missing out on an opportunity there. But I think that you're missing out on a bigger opportunity. And I believe that once you establish this with people, you will literally push a fast forward button on your results. I felt very mechanical when I was saying that. I promise you that was not scripted. I don't know what the hell happened to me. Maybe I'm just doing this on, like, you know, not enough caffeine today and I get robotical. I mean, I got to figure it out, folks. I don't know. Maybe I should pause it and caffeinate up, do a couple Red Bulls, come back. God help you all. But anyway, let's get back to it. You're missing out on this opportunity to establish a little something-something called propinquity. And you guys know I love that word. It's like Castain has like a one-word vocabulary, and it's propinquity. He loves that freaking word. And you should love that freaking word, too. I mean, seriously, like, I fell in love with that word. Not so much the moment I heard it. Probably because I didn't know what the hell it meant. I mean, I think I fell in love with it the moment, like, I looked it up, and I knew what the hell the word was. I mean, you know, I go around using words, and then people will be saying things like, I do not think it means what you think it means, Uncle Paul. But anyway, I didn't want to come across as a bigger idiot. So the word propinquity is important to us in sales because it means nearness and closeness and kinship. And, you know, I think it really represents comfort that people have with us, and they feel that there is something shared with us. And if you really think about relationships that you have in your life, both business and personal, there is a sense of that propinquity. Think about the best relationships you have. There's a feeling of nearness, right? Even, you know, and you know, it's funny because I bet you have friends that you haven't hung out with in years. And they might be somewhere across the world, right? Different side of the planet. And yet you still feel close with them. That's an incredible feeling when you think about that. And that's not easy to establish. And it's the same thing in business. I bet you if we were to sit down with your clients and, you know, your best clients and ask them to describe the relationship, I bet in many ways they would feel kind of a kinship and a closeness and that nearness to you, even though you're busy and you're traveling around here and there and, you know, you're all over the planet and everything. And, you know, it's interesting because I bet you guys have this too. I mean, one of the things I'm really proud of is when a client says to me, you know, Paul, I know that you're in classrooms and you're on webinars and you're traveling and you're doing speeches and everything, but I always feel like you're right there. I mean, think about that. Right? Isn't that a sense of that propinquity that we were talking about? So now that I've beaten that up a little bit, let's continue to beat up this whole personal scenario and jumping back and forth to business. So let's go back to the personal relationship thing. What if that person that was trying to form a relationship with you reaches out to you via a text message, but you're not a fan of text messages? Or what if they reach out to you through Facebook and you're on Facebook, but you're really not there that much and whatever, it doesn't matter, you just don't use it that much? Would they really have a chance of building that propinquity with you and that nearness and closeness and, you know, the whole know, like, and trust thing if you could never even get the damn relationship like up and running? How could they do that, right? But now, what if they had, you know, emailed you? And let's just say that you're all about email. It doesn't matter why. I'm not here to judge you. But if they had emailed you and you're an email person, in fact, you're probably one of those email people that sends along those stupid poems about butterflies, and if you don't forward it to 10 people, you know, something's going to happen, like, to you. You're like, you're going to die, and we're like, I think of that scene. Don't you wish that evil on me, Ricky Bobby? But anyway, I'm digressing as usual. But here's the point. Everyone has their preferred venue for communication. I want you to think about personal friendships you have. I bet you have friends where, you know, they're all about text messages. And you might have other friends that you text them something or you email them something and you're getting a phone call because they love the phone and they love the chat, right? You may have other friends where, you know, they just have another, you know, it's all about, I don't know, Snapchatting, right? They want to show you every step of what they're doing there. I don't know. And I don't mean to sound cold. I don't care because it doesn't really matter what it is because we can't generalize it because it's going to vary from person to person. So now what I want to do is let's kind of go back to, you know what? Before we go back to anything, I need to beat up the point a little bit more. But now, what if, you know, they're doing this in ways that, like, you're just not having it? Again, I want to go back to that point with you. Could you ever, ever, ever get some kind of a relationship going with them? Right? You probably couldn't. But now, let's go over to the business equivalent of this. Let's just say, I mean, because it really is the same thing in business, right? You call, but actually they're more into social networks. Or you email, right? Because it's usually an email or a call. I mean, I think we cling way too tightly to phone calls and emails. And God forbid, by the way, I'm going to go on a little mini rant. God forbid you're the a-hole like Uncle Paul here suggesting that there is a life beyond phone calls and emails. Right away, you're a lightweight in sales, right? Like, you know, like everybody's like, you know, pounding their chest. It's like the locker room. We're doing everything but like snapping each other in the ass with the towels, man. Testosterone so freaking thick, you could cut it with a knife, man. You can't be in sales if you don't want to do phone calls and emails, right? You're avoiding it. You're just an order taker. All this stuff. First of all, I want to explain something to you. You don't have to choose Nobody is saying that you have to choose. And yet, well, actually, people are saying that you have to choose. You don't have to choose, though. You have a lot of these, like, types who have watched, like, Wolf of Wall Street way too many freaking times. We're here to tell you, it's all about phone calls. It's not all about phone calls. Phone should be in there. Email should be in there. There should be a mix of things in there. And by the way, I have the same argument for all these social selling types who never pick up a damn phone. I think that, you know, I mean, if you're going to sit there and only embrace content and only embrace LinkedIn and Twitter and everything, you're missing out on all the people who would prefer a phone call. So my point is this, is that all of these forms of outreach could actually coexist quite nicely. And when they exist and coexist quite nicely, you have options, and that's really, really important. So now let's go back to this again. Same kind of scenario in business, right, as that personal thing that I gave you. So now, again, you're trying to call, but they're into the social networks. Or you email, but it gets lost somewhere in there between those 100-plus emails a day that the average person sends and receives. But maybe, and again, it's going to vary from person to person. I'm just giving you one example. Maybe if you sent a handwritten note and you ended it with a day and time that you're going to call. And by the way, for those of you who haven't been through any of my courses, that is a concept that I teach called the reverse call to action. In a traditional call to action, you end that communication with something like, you know, visit our website or reply to this email with the best time for me to get in touch with you, or, you know, or even in case of like a lot of my webinars and stuff, click here, that kind of thing. With a reverse call to action, you are eliminating the idea of them having to do anything. I mean, and again, I'm not here to put down the human race, but we've become quite lazy and we have a lot of things coming at us to distract us. So even asking someone to do any kind of like minor little thing before they get to know, like, and trust you is, you know, quite labor intensive, at least, you know, psychologically for a lot of people. So with a reverse call to action, we are basically telling them that we're going to be taking action and that they could expect different things. So in the context of this handwritten note, at the end of it, we're saying, I'm going to be calling you such and such a day, such and such a time. That is a reverse call to action. And it's actually quite powerful when you use it, especially when it's part of another mix, because it really sets up the next touch and they could expect it. So that's a little something you might want to put on your list of things to do. And you're welcome for that freebie. So you didn't have to sign up for my courses to learn that one. But, you know, there's all kinds of other stuff you could be learning too. So as you fork over the dough, man. So anyway, you know, the point is this, that, again, everybody, whether it be business or personal, has their preferred way. You can have people in business that they are going to respond best to something that is creative. You're going to have other people that are going to just respond best to an email. There are going to be other people, and think about your clients, right? I mean, let's just break it down that way. Before we thought about all the people in your personal life, think about your clients. I bet you have clients right now that no matter how much, you know, you try to get them on the phone, you know, they're all about the emails. So like, you're going to leave them a message, they're going to email you back instead of calling you. You're going to have the opposite of that. You're going to have people that you have a very simple email with a very simple question. All of a sudden your phone is going off and they want to have a conversation about everything. You have other people who are going to want to have a meeting about like everything. There are other people, I bet you, in business that you know of that, like, thank God you go to networking events because that's the only time you will ever see them, because they're all about networking and all the other stuff. Just, you know, they're just too busy for it. It doesn't make it right or wrong. It just makes it simply the way it is. And that's why you have to have kind of a well-balanced mix. So what I want to do now is go back to the personal relationship scenario for the last time. Now, what if this person, trying to have a relationship, they're trying to be your friend, always said the same boring things to you and always wanted to hang out at the same boring place? And my definition of boring place is a place you don't want to hang out in. So again, it could be, you know, it could be a physical place, or it could even be like, you know, the damn text messages. Like you hate text messages, and it's like, you always try to like communicate with me on text messages. Like, what the hell's wrong with you? And then you look like you're psychotic. But anyway, if they always like showed up with the same boring message and saying the same boring things to you in the same boring place, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that they would bore you. They would quickly become disregarded. And let's go a step further. I think they would be very easy to delete them, right? Their messages, yeah, like, I mean, why would I even read this if it's the same damn message that you've sent to me over and 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 over again? Why would this be very, very different? So in essence, they would have conditioned that response from you. I want you to think about that for a minute. They created that monster. They conditioned that response from you. It's like a really bad stimulus response situation. I bore you in a place that bores you. You respond by not responding, disregarding, and deleting me. It's a very simple equation when we lay it out that way. Now, the same thing goes with, you know, goes for your prospects and your clients, because we are talking about both. If you keep calling someone, and that could be that client or that prospect, and your message is always, get ready for this. In fact, if you're in the car, you got to pull over and write this the hell down. Not that it's so profound, but it's so freaking true. And all of us have been guilty of this. So again, if you're showing up, we're in the same boring place, and your message is always, I have something to sell you. Or, I'd like to make an appointment with you because I have something to sell you. Or, I'm following up because I have something to sell you. I'm checking in, touching base, circling back, reaching out. You ready? Wait for it. I'm like fading fast here. Because I have something to sell you. Well, guess what? You are conditioning your prospects to disregard and delete you. So I want you to let that, let's take a minute here. It's like we're doing a wine tasting. Let's just take a moment to let that freaking roll around on your palate. I'll sit and wait here, man. I'll play like Angry Birds on my freaking phone while you do that. All right, so in short, you need to have a plan. That, to me, is the minimum required effort here. Most of you think you have a plan, but you don't. You really don't. And to go a step further, that plan needs to include showing up consistently, not sporadically. Now, remember, you know what I mean by showing up? I'm hoping you do, because I just spent, you know, several minutes with you using the phrase showing up. When I'm saying showing up, I mean like different forms of outreach, whether it be, you know, the phone or the email or, you know, sending them something, whatever. So you need to be showing up sporadically, not sporadic. See what happens now? Now I'm upset. Right now I'm mixing up my own damn words. I feel like if I was in a political debate, I would have just lost the damn election here. Vote for Uncle Paul, 2016. Running with Underwood, by the way, from House of Cards. And is that not a really awesome show? But anyway, digressing one more time. And it's going to get worse as I get older. Just so you guys know, I mean, you're kind of on this journey with me. And sorry. Yeah, it's when Uncle Paul becomes kind of the nutty uncle, which might have happened a while ago. But anyway, so the first thing is, you know, in short, you need a plan that's going to include showing up consistently, not sporadically. Showing up via a mix of venues. And, you know, things like, of course, you have the phone and the email. But if I were to ask you right now, beyond phone and email, what do you have? Most of you would probably either point the finger over at marketing or just like stare down at the ground and break eye contact because, because you have nothing. And that's okay. I'm not saying it to make you feel bad. I'm saying it's that you have a wake-up call and you do something about it. So you need, yes, you need phone. You need email. You need snail mail. You need FedEx. You need drop-ins. You need drop-offs. You need social networking. You need traditional networking. You need creative approaches. You need what we call like events-based approaches, where maybe you're doing like a webinar or a seminar or something like that. You need content. This right now, what I'm putting out there is a form of content. And, you know, for some of you, You know, you probably want nothing to do with me. But other people, you feel that sense of propinquity that I've been talking about because I'm riding shotgun with you right now. Or other people, they might really feel that bond with me through my blog or through my LinkedIn activities or whatever. But anyway, you need to mix it up. There is an incredible life for you beyond the phone and the email. And again, stop listening to all those people that watch Wolf of Wall Street way too many times. I mean, I'm here to tell you, and I've made the same bad joke for years, that when I go to do my taxes every year and I go to the IRS and I say, yeah, but listen, before you make me pay taxes on that stuff, I didn't get it through a cold call. So I'm, you know, like a lot of this, I didn't get through the cold call or even an email. So I'm not a real salesman. You know what they say? Shut up and give me your money anyway, because it's still revenue and it still freaking counts. And that's my message to your sales manager. That's my message to you gung-ho types that think that the only way you can call yourself a salesman is by making cold calls. I'm here to tell you that is a complete line of BS. That all of these things can be, you know, like in a situation where they live nicely together. You don't have to choose. It's 2016. This isn't 1971, gang. You're allowed to choose. You're allowed to modernize your efforts. And you know what? Just as, you know, a thing I want to put out there, I'm a big fan of the traditional ways of bringing in sales. I mean, heck, I'm not 20 years old here, gang. Like, I just, you know, not just. I mean, your Uncle Paul here is 50. So I came up on the traditional. There's always going to be, you know, just a soft spot in my heart for the traditional. But you want to know something? I love the idea of having options and being able to marry traditional with a lot of the newer things that are out there. But at the end of the day, it all counts as revenue. But the next thing that you need to have in your plan is that you need to show up, and I kind of gave you the little bit of a, you know, like a little segue into that. You need to show up with a good messaging mix as well. So it's not only showing up in different places, you need to show up with a different message, not that variation of, I want to sell you something, or I want to make an appointment to sell you something, or touching base, or checking in, or circling back to sell you something. You want to mix it up. So, you know, think about things like sharing an idea or a resource or making an introduction to someone that, you know, would benefit from knowing them, or they could benefit from knowing this other person, right? Mutual would be awesome. Also, I mean, like, how about an invitation to something? Again, it could be an invitation to perhaps some kind of a networking event or a community event that you think might be, you know, useful to them. Certainly, webinars and seminars, again, that events-based marketing that we talked about. How about just reaching out to them with a question? And of course, you're allowed to contact them and inform them of products and services that might be useful to them, or, you know, hint at the fact that they might be able to get some results that you'd be getting for other people. And, you know, you're also allowed to suggest setting up an appointment. But what I'm here to tell you, if you do that every single time, you're going to bore the hell out of a lot of people, and you're going to miss those opportunities. So let me end with this. If you'd like my help in accomplishing this whole idea of creating a plan that's going to help you show up more consistently, not sporadically, that's going to help you show up with a mix of venues, and also helping you vary the message, have a nice mix, or a nice messaging mix, if you will, then you have three options. The first one is join us on May 10th for that A Simple Plan to Grow Your Sales webinar that we're going to be doing. You can learn more by going to yoursalesplaybook.com/plan. Or I have something even like more intense and thorough with 100 ideas for you. You can download my course, How to Hunt More Effectively, where we get into all kinds of messaging, all kinds of forms of outreach, and I show you how to get them to work together through a process that I teach called communication mapping. If you go to yoursalesplaybook.com/sellmore, you can learn all about it. And the beautiful thing about it is it's waiting for you. You don't have to be there at a certain day and time. You download it and you go at your own pace. And last but not least, you can certainly email me regarding my one-on-one coaching, and we can talk through how we could do this for you. And you can email me at paul@yoursalesplaybook.com. And with that, I am Paul Castain from YourSalesPlaybook.com, and I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them, folks. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production. Visit us at YourSalesPlaybook.com.